face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we're going to read Peter's preaching through the events of the end of this week. The Gospel of Mark is Peter's preaching. It's John Mark writing down what Peter preached pretty soon, pretty much immediately after Peter's crucifixion. So this is Mark's writing down of the way Peter told the story. Listen to the word of the Lord. And the soldiers led Jesus into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, obviously Christians who follow Jesus now, that Mark knows. And they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. And there they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you would who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And then someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph of San Salome. These used to follow him and provide for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
I had a discouraging conversation this week with a fellow brother in the Lord, a pastor of a church that has just been planted in the last 15 years. It was discouraging because I think for too many of us it represents why we are uncomfortable with the events of this coming week. So he said he looks around and he looks at what's happening in the world and he sees the morality of the world falling apart. And his great hope that he holds out, as he said, is this culture is going to give us our job back. The culture is going to give us our job back. We're going to be able to help people to be good boys and girls again. They're going to ask us to do that again, to be able to be the moral cop of this society. Because they have to. The problem, brothers and sisters, with us and for us in this week, and the problem why you are not getting the Palm Sunday sermon that you want, and that you are expecting, and I know I will hear from you. God bless you. But there is a reason for this sermon here today. Because the problem for us is we have been proud of our goodness. We have been proud of our purity. We have been proud of our ability to be able to do this right. We have thought that being followers of Jesus means picking up our palm branch and following him. Declaring him Lord, walking in through the Messiah gate, and everybody sings Hosanna to the Son of David. It is the reason that this day is raised above all other days of this week in the church to which you and I were born. It is the reason that the church in which I first came to know Jesus Christ had a Palm Sunday service and did not have a Good Friday service. Because the Jesus we wanted to worship was a Jesus who cleaned us up, the Jesus who made us the King's men and women, the one who made us the exemplars, the one who made us the cops, the one who made us the people that we could drag people into the parade, and if we gave them their palm branch, then they would be all right. And that salvation was just simply being part of the parade and getting through the gate with Jesus. And the problem for every one of us is, you know that faith does not survive. It is a great faith when you're 12, when you're 7, when you're 10. What do you do with death? That faith, brothers and sisters, is why we make people die on the top floor of a hospital. It is why we spend hugely inordinate amounts of money to try and keep somebody alive for 10 days. It's why you and I spend $10, $12, $15, $20,000 to pay somebody to do things to our bodies that you just don't want to know that they do, so that you can walk up and under the right lights, you can say, doesn't he look natural? He's just sleeping. we run from death. We are terrified of dying. And we run from pain. The problem with a Palm Sunday faith is it does nothing to help with that central problem. It does absolutely nothing to teach you anything of what it is to live in the reality of being an adult in this culture. In any culture, because the reality of being an adult in this culture is I die every day. You can lie to yourself as long as you want. I don't feel 53. It doesn't really matter whether I feel 53 or not. I am 53. And even if medical science does wonders and I lived 106, it's still halfway gone. And I'm probably not going to be like Esmond Harden. I'm already too far gone. He's only taken 2 pills. He's 100. I'm at 6 and I'm at 53. I'm already done. That's probably not going to be where I'm going to get. That's not going to be where the genes and the cards are going to fall. And I can whistle past that. I can buy a new car past that. I can buy a new house past that. I can buy a new suit past that. I can dress that up in whatever way I want to dress it up. But it is a fact. The reality of that is time is precious. And the days where waving a palm branch was enough to be able to follow Jesus are long, long, long gone for me. Peter preaches on Jesus' crucifixion, not from firsthand knowledge, right? Peter's not there. By this point, Peter has already been so terrified of what might come to him by saying he believes in Jesus that he has sworn a covenant oath. I swear by God, I do not know him. Peter has run in fear not simply of the Romans now, but in fear of, as Luke says, that look in Jesus' eyes when Jesus stands and listens to him say, I swear by God, I do not know him. That, brothers and sisters, is the problem with the Palm Sunday faith. Where are all of those palm branch waving people? Where is the crowd? Hosanna to the Son of David. Are they not the people who are walking by and saying, gee whiz, I guess you really weren't who you said you were. I guess I was wrong when I sang Hosanna to the Son of David, because there you are. You're on a cross. This can't be the way. How could the Messiah lead there? That's got to be wrong. That's wrong on so many levels, it just can't be true. And when you and I face pain, we do exactly the same thing without thinking. It happens like that. You go into pain, and what's the first question? Why? Why did this happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? God, I thought you loved me. Why am I in pain? It is the reason we have to hang on to David Broyles and his family. If you have never walked through that time, it is almost a more, I do believe, not almost, it is, a more agonizing and a deeper pain to watch somebody you love who is innocent and young walk this path than it is to walk it yourself. because you're helpless to stop it. And all of that pain feels like somehow I should be able to do something. I should be able to stop this. It is my job to protect them. And nobody can protect Olivia from what is happening to her. A Palm Sunday faith is useless against the realities of sin in this world. What we need is to walk with Jesus. And it's interesting when Peter tells the story that the first detail he calls out is a detail that probably slips by you. And it slips by the other synoptic gospels as well. One of the women who's with Jesus, when he is put on the cross, mixes up a painkiller. Wine and myrrh. It's meant to dull the pain. We all know how to use alcohol, right? That's what you use it for. You use it to dull pain. If you have emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain, alcohol will dull the pain. It will make it more bearable for a little time. And so, in essence, what they do is they mix this up and they say, Jesus, we don't want you to feel this pain. We don't want you to walk through this wide-eyed and sober. We would rather that you walk through this and you didn't feel it as much. And Jesus says, no. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the painkiller if I'm going to have to go through it. Making it a little bit easier sounds good to me, but Jesus says, I don't want this to be easy. In fact, I need this not to be easy. Because I need to go to the depths of this pain. I need to experience this down to the reality of what it is, because if I do not get to the depths, I will not clean the wound. Not to get too gross, but I have in my own life a wonderful example of what happens when you don't get deep enough to clean the wound. He's lying down up there, but he hears me. And the problem with it is you clean the outside of it, and then what happens? The infection just keeps growing because all you're doing is scraping the outside. And the reason you only scrape the outside is scraping the inside is too painful. Jesus says it's going to go down to the bone, and it's going to go down to the bone, and I will feel every bit of it. The pain he describes is every single kind of pain. Physical pain, perhaps the easiest one to actually learn to bear. Social pain, being shunned, being mocked, being spat at, being humiliated. Existential pain, you are totally alone and no one cares about you at all. You are no longer human. You're no longer part of the human race. You are simply a thing on a cross, and no one sees you as human anymore. Spiritual pain. My God, why have you forsaken? Jesus faces pain. And because he faces pain, you and I are free to face pain. Love is not waving a palm branch. Love is not giving your kids everything that they can want. Love is not making it okay so that they never have to get upset. Sometimes love is upsetting your children. Sometimes love is inflicting pain on them to be able to say to them, this is right and this is true and it will not move because it cannot move. It is. And it's not up for a majority vote, and it is not amenable to your arrogance or your pride or your own self-power. You have no power to move it. It is immovable. It is true. You can't get around it. You can't get under it. And while you're standing there, you're saying to yourself, oh, this has got to be wrong. There's got to be a better way to do this. This hurt, and I know that this is hurting them. I want the pain to stop for me. You thought when you were on the other end of the paddle and your parents said to you, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. Yeah, Mom, that's what's actually happening. That's true. But once you're holding the paddle, you actually know there's truth in it. It does. It hurts to be able to stand in a place where you know there is truth. If Palm Sunday faith was the faith of the Coptic Church in Egypt, no one would be in worship. Those churches would have closed. If they were our churches, we would have been gone the second week they burned one. Because we would say we couldn't afford the fire insurance anymore, so we need to close. The Church of Jesus Christ in the West has become a paralytic in bed where we sit up and we pass out because we can't keep our blood pressure high enough. And Jesus made us to run, not just to walk, but to run. And that faith requires the ability to face pain with peace. Every single Cairo Christian who walks into church knows that they have a pretty decent chance of not walking out again. When they stand for Jesus in that culture, they will lose their job. They will lose their standing. When somebody knows that they believe in Jesus, there is a cost that they will pay that's social, that's economic, that's personal, that's spiritual. They pay a price. My brothers sit by and carp and complain and say that the church in the West is persecuted because everybody doesn't say we're right. The time where the Church of Jesus Christ can stand and say this day of all days in this week is the day that we need to fill this place. Is long gone. The day that this place needs to be filled is Friday. Because what you and I have to learn to do is to face the pain. Who here has told a lie, skated by a truth, not confronted something because you said, it's easier, and it'll just get better by itself. How many times has that worked? And by the time you finally figure out it didn't work, that problem is so huge, and the pain bill has gotten so high, that you sit down and you say to yourself, gosh, I wish I had done da-da-da-da-da-da-da when I could have. And it would have cost me less. But the problem with experience is it gives the test before presenting the lesson. And the important piece of growing up in Jesus is to learn the lesson. And the lesson is face the pain now. The pain will only multiply. Face the truth now. The truth will only multiply. Repent now. However hard and inconvenient it may be, however much it may cost your pride, however much it may cost you in bending. Because if you don't now, you think it's high now. You ought to see the interest rate on pain. It makes credit card debt look like a good deal. Jesus obeys through pain, not because pain is easy, but because pain is what is given. Jesus faces the pain not because he is a sucker for pain, bring pain on. I'll date myself unless you have an old Netflix thing. You don't know Little Shop of Horrors. You don't know Bill Murray's scene in that one from The Dentist. If you don't know that, go watch it yourself. Jesus is not a masochist. He's not singing songs while the drill's going in without anesthetic. He's not doing this because he's crazy. He's not doing this because he's sick. He's doing this because he knows that reality must be faced in the strength and courage of one's own mind. And the only way that that can be done is if God himself will do it. You and I can't do it by ourselves. He blazes a path through the cross so that the temple is now no longer the place that God dwells. The entirety of the purpose of his suffering is to tear that temple veil. That God is no longer trapped in one little square foot of space inside one building on one place on one hill, that he is now loose in the world and he is everywhere. And the way he got loose is pain. Why is it that the average person in the average pew talks to zero people about Jesus in our lifetime? It's painful. Why is it that we turn people who we do talk to against Jesus? Because we need them to say yes so that we will feel better. Kachunga. Gotcha. One scalp for Jesus. My number's two. What's your number? And the reality of sharing the love of Jesus has nothing to do with gathering anything. It has to do with simple obedience. It just has to do with sitting down in a seat in an airplane and talking to the person next to you. And finding out that their son and their daughter-in-law are having a stillborn baby and they don't want to admit that the baby is stillborn and has no heartbeat. The delivery day hasn't come. And they're praying for a miracle that somehow all of this will change and all of it will turn. They haven't told anybody. And you have to be able to turn to him and say, this is a fight, and you're going to have to fight for Jesus, and you're going to have to hang on to them, and you're going to have to be there when this baby is delivered, and you're going to have to face this pain for them because they can't face it by themselves. Just get up and say, I thought I was going to have a nice ride somewhere, but that was not what came to me. So thank you, Jesus, and I get to do it. That's all that Revive Texas is. It's all this is actually walking in the world with an explanation of the hope that's in you. It's not coming up and saying, Andrel, do you know Jesus? Please? Let me tell you my four-step way of doing it. Boom, 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 boom. Can I play this prayer with you? Yes, I got her. Oh, boy. That's not what it is. It's going out and planting seeds that you will never see grow. Loving someone who you will never understand what that love ever did. And if they remember your name, you will say, I don't even remember talking to you. I don't remember what the conversation was. I don't even remember saying that. Because all it is living into the pain of the possible disgust, disagreement. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Slam the door. And saying, thank you, Jesus, I did what I was asked to do. You know, that real praise has a lot more to it than waving a palm branch and singing Hosanna to the Son of David. We have all lived long enough to know there is a lot more to following Jesus than simply saying nice words when everybody else is saying them. And the time has come, brothers and sisters, when in this culture, a new church must rise that sees and understands the hard work that is in front of us. Because there is a generation of young men and women who surround us in this time and this place who have no idea who Jesus is, who live into a world where they are so afraid of pain that they reject and cut off relationships with what? Text messages. Why? Because it's less painful. Because I don't have to face the person. Counselors and colleges across this country have people coming into their places, walking in and saying, I don't know what to do with this. This person rejected me. And it hurts, and I have no idea what this is. What is this thing? Because they've never experienced pain. Come to the cross. Don't come to the Messiah gate. You know why they waved palm branches, right? Because it was easy. Because what lines the street? Palm trees. So you got to walk 50 whole feet. Oh my goodness, how can I do that? And you got to reach up and go, rip. Oh, so much work. And then you just get to stand there and then you get to shout with everybody else. Join Simon the Cyrene. Pick up the cross. Every time you see somebody in this culture, no matter whether you work with them or you go to the store with them or they're just driving beside you, and I fail at this one too. We all do. We all have a mixed witness, sadly. It's just the fact of it. We are a mix of obedience and disobedience. You always will be. Make your peace with it. You're always going to have something you can say, Jesus, forgive me for. That's just always going to be a given. But the fact of it is, wherever you are, remember the Coptic Christians who died today to do what you're doing right now. And they were willing to do it, and they did it with eyes open. They didn't walk into that church thinking, oh, I'm going to get to wave a palm branch around today, and it's going to be a happy day. They walked in knowing, probably there's somebody who's going to kill me. There's somebody who wants me dead for doing what I'm doing right now. And I'm going to do it anyway because I know this is true. And if you and I walked with that conviction in this world, there would be people who bag groceries who would know Jesus. If you and I walked in this world with that conviction, your neighbor would know Jesus. If we lived with that conviction, the people who work beside you would know Jesus. You know why? because they'd see him. Because that's who we would be. Embrace this Holy Week as a time to become Jesus in the flesh. Don't stand and be a cheerleader for Jesus. He doesn't need cheerleaders. Opal quoted the song yesterday, and it is the song for the church of our day. Shall Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There is a cross for me. Pick up your cross. Someone in your world is dying because they have never understood how to deal with pain. Pick up your cross. Don't pretend that peace means that your body accepts pain and thinks, la, 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 la. It's nothing. Pick up your cross. Bleed. Keep your eyes on Jesus and show someone a way in which to live in this pain-filled world, knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that there is a path. The day where the church in this culture can be a cheerleader is over. It is done. There is no more parade. People think taking the branches off of palm trees is desecrating palm trees. The question now is, will we show them the way? And the only way you can show it, brothers and sisters, is to walk it. Jesus needs you to walk this path. Walk it this week. And on Sunday night, begin the process of walking out into the world with what it is that Jesus has done. No one in this room rose in resurrection power from waving a palm branch. Every single person who has ever risen in power in any sense in your life rose because you have a scar in your hand. You have scars on your feet. You have scars on your head. You know what a crown of thorns feels like. You know what it is to be pierced. You know what it is to suffer. You know what it is to die. And the power of the faith in Jesus Christ is, I am no longer afraid of dying. I am no longer afraid of death. Death has no more power over me, and therefore I can love. In that love, let us celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, bless us where we're in pain, because some of us in this room are in pain right now. Pain of all kinds. Physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain. Pain where we don't know what to do next. We don't know where to turn. Remind us, Lord, that to know the way is not to understand the process, it's just to know you. Bless us, Lord, to walk that path that we do not understand, hand in hand with you, knowing that you are all that we need. Bless us, Lord, to see that that is the great gift that you give to the world, to watch us walk through pain in faith with peace. Bring us to the place, Lord Jesus, that we can do that. So that, Lord, we can teach the lessons this world desperately needs to know. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we stand to sing,